Welcome back, everyone. Bogoss here with Tracy Black. Tracy, are you as excited as I am right now?
Channel 19 WHNT, what are you talking about?
Channel 19 WHNT. Guys, we are blessed, thankful, and honored, and everything else to know that we are sitting in WHNT's studio, and we have a very special guest that Tracy and I have been really excited about having on, Miss Olivia Whitmire. Olivia, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Hey, guys, I'm excited to be here and happy to welcome you into our little slice of home here in North Alabama at the Channel 19 studio.
I know you've probably kind of tired. I know you had a late night last night with NCAA finals last night in basketball.
Was something going on? Did something happen recently? I don't know anything about that. A national championship, what?
Yeah. Good shout out to the Florida Gators for winning the national championship last night. Whoa, what a game.
What a game.
I was at a loss for words, and our weekend sports anchor and reporter, Alexa Harley, she is a Florida graduate, so we were sitting here in the newsroom, and she was getting a little nervous. She was clenching onto her chair a little bit throughout the game, but yeah, seriously, the end of that game, we were talking about it before we jumped on the show, just kind of what the heck happened at the end there, and to see it kind of end the way that it did for Houston. I hate that for Kelvin Sampson because he was just kind of watching in disbelief, but in the end of the day, yeah, Florida made the plays when they needed to, some really great defensive stops down the stretch, and the SEC wins the national title in a year where the SEC was as dominant as it was, so can't complain too much about that if you're a fan of SEC basketball.
That's right, and I think that's the first time in 13 years of football.
Since 2012, Kentucky.
Yeah. So that's 13 years. I'll tell you what was cool, a cool fact. The last three games in the Final Four, So you got your two semis in the final. The last media timeout in all three of those games, the team that was winning at that timeout lost. How crazy is that?
I think it just reemphasizes the March Madness slogan.
That's right. Will.
That's how this tournament goes. We never really know exactly what's going to go down. And it definitely has some crazy endings sometimes. So that was a real treat for us to get to see those games in San Antonio.
And it's not over till it's over.
Exactly.
You know.
And I think all those guys know that.
Once again, thank you for joining us. Olivia, tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and how you got started in sports journalism.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up outside of Atlanta in the Marietta, East Cobb area. Outside of Atlanta. I know I was telling you guys I was born in Texas, huge Texas family. I was raised a Texas Longhorns fan, so now with them being in the SEC, that adds an additional layer of a family dynamic for sure. But huge Texas family. I was born in Dallas, moved to Maryland for a little bit when I was very young for my dad's job, and then by the time I was in second grade, I moved to Atlanta. So that is home for me. That's where I grew up and went to high school, and being in Atlanta, I think I knew I wanted to go to a big SEC-like school. Again, both of my older sisters went to the University of Texas, so that wasn't the SEC at the time, but I saw the vibe of the big SEC school, right? The big athletics, and I wanted to be involved in Greek life in college and everything like that. So I knew where I kind of wanted to go, and then to take you all the way back to six or seven-year-old Olivia getting a glimpse into my childhood. My parents, they always had the Today Show on in the morning when I was getting ready for school and eating breakfast and everything. And I just absolutely loved it. I just thought the Today Show was so cool. I thought everything that they did was awesome. I thought their on-air talent was fantastic. And I just, my mom and dad will say from when I was about 7 years old, I said, I want to do something like that. Like that would be super cool to do. So I kind of had an interest in broadcast journalism at a very young age. I did our morning announcements when I was in fifth grade. I did them when I was in middle school. And in high school, we did an actual live broadcast for our morning announcements, which was very cool.
So it was your voice that said, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Something like that. Yes, exactly. Yeah, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're having mozzarella sticks in the cafeteria today. Yeah, something like that. And so I was interested in the broadcast journalism world, and then sports were just a very big part of my life growing up. I grew up, again, a Texas Longhorns fan, but grew up in a household that really loved sports, loved to watch sports, and I played volleyball growing up. throughout my upbringing. So for me, sports was really big. And I said, you know, sports journalism would be awesome to get into, but just kind of broadcast journalism in general. You know, everyone says they want to work at ESPN or some big network. And obviously, even from a young age, I knew that that was going to be competitive and a competitive field. So you never know what's going to happen. So when you do know, however, what you want to do, it makes picking a college a lot easier. Because if you have no idea what you want to do, then, okay, well, what am I doing and where am I going? Yeah. But when you know what you want to do, it makes that a little bit easier because you can look at a school with a program that's right for you. So knowing kind of the type of school I wanted to go to and then knowing what I wanted to do, it made it very easy for me. I ended up going to the University of Alabama, and they have a fantastic communication school, broadcast journalism school, and everything like that. So I got to go to Alabama and get a bunch of experience there, and the rest is history.
So you have family that grew up in Texas.
Correct.
You grew up in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the University of Alabama.
Correct.
So you've got friends that were probably like, what? And then you got family going, what?
A little bit of that. Yeah. It's let's go back to the 2018 national championship, the second and 26th national championship for Alabama. That was my senior year of college. The entire front two rows of the Georgia student section went to my high school. Like, that's how many people we know that either, you know, go to UGA or a different school within the state of Georgia. But we have a lot that go outside of there, too. And, you know, I think my dad really wanted me to try to go to Texas. I'll let everyone in on a little secret. You can have not great grades in high school and make it out okay. Kids stay in school, study, and do better than I did. But I did not have the best grades, the best GPA in high school. So getting into Texas was going to be incredibly difficult for me, especially being out of state and all of that. So I did not follow in the family footsteps and go to Texas. I'm sure I would have loved it if I did, but I absolutely loved my time at the University of Alabama, and here I am now.
Awesome. You mentioned that you played volleyball growing up. Tracy and I were talking on the way here. We're talking about, hey, did you have a good weekend? Yeah, did you watch the games? Yeah. What'd you do, Bo? Mm-hmm. Well, I was at a volleyball tournament all weekend
all
in Birmingham.
Day, I bet.
In Birmingham.
Yep.
It was the Super Regionals for AAU volleyball. And my daughter plays with RCVC.
Very cool.
Here, Rocket City Volleyball Club. And, man, I was blown away. Mm-hmm. I was telling Tracy on the way here how well organized. It's a well-oiled machine when mm-hmm. you got 20 courts under the same roof, whistles blowing everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know as a player that the whistle's for you?
It's organized chaos is how I like to describe it. That's how I describe football season for us as well. Organized chaos. Honestly, sometimes you don't. Legitimately, yeah. Sometimes you hear a whistle and you're like, I don't really know. So, and what, like, so whether you're playing in 20 courts, a 20 court arena, or if you're just playing on one court on your high school, my coaches always taught us it's similar to football, basketball, anything. You play until the whistle blows.
Yeah.
So until you are 100% confident in that scenario, when you've got whistles going left and right, you play until you are 100% confident that it is our whistle. And that's kind of just how you have to handle it in those situations.
So cool thing, my daughter's name's Olivia as well.
Great name.
So are you a setter, a passer?
I started my youthful career as a setter. My middle sister was a setter as well. Both my sisters played volleyball as well, and I thought I wanted to do that. And then probably when I was 13 or so, I made the switch to libero, defensive specialist. So for everyone listening at home, the one with the different colored jersey,
yep.
if you do not know the terms. And then just defensive-wise, because what's funny, and a lot of people in our newsroom, but also just people I meet here, when they're like, oh, what sport did you play growing up? And I say volleyball. They go, oh, that makes sense because you're so tall. I'm 5'6". I'm like, and I showed Greg Screws a picture recently of that popped up on my memories from high school, a picture of me and three of my girlfriends that I played club with. And they've all got like an entire head on me. And I'm like, what are we forgetting about volleyball? Like 5'6" is not tall for volleyball. So for me, it was defense was kind of going to be the way to go. Because for volleyball, I'm on the shorter side, but I guess to a lot of people, I'm massive at 5'6".
So my daughter being at a younger age playing volleyball, the libero,
uh-huh.
it's basically the QB1.
pretty much.
Yeah. Of the volleyball team. So kudos to you, Miss Libero.
Lot of people, thank you. I think a lot of people would probably, I would probably look at the setter as QB1 almost, like if we're, but Libero, they don't get enough credit. The defensive players in volleyball don't get enough credit. But yeah, my my hips, my knees, my elbows, my shoulders, my my back, my entire body is at the age of 28 is banged up because of volleyball. Because you're just diving onto the ground, running into chairs, doing whatever you can to make the defensive play. But yeah, it was a great experience playing volleyball growing up for sure. It taught a lot to me about what I need to know about life just in general.
You know, and one thing I'll say. What you said a minute ago, you know, you knew what you wanted to do going into college and stuff. I've got a son that's a junior at UNA, and I've got one that's a sophomore at UNA, and they don't know. Mm-hmm. They're not real sure what they want to do, but, you know, the default for that is a business degree. So you go, you major in business.
Yes.
But one thing I want to point out, Olivia, with Channel 19, the Bracket Challenge,
yes.
She is the only one here that correctly picked the Women's National Championship and the men's national
championship. I knew throwing that out there.
Well, you know, if you're, I would say if you're the head sports anchor, hopefully you did.
You know what's even worse? Okay, so I won our women's bracket, and I got third, I believe, in our men's bracket this year. Last year, I was livid. I got second place in both. I go, you've got to be kidding me.
I was always taught second place is the first loser.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's why I was so mad. I go, you can't tell me. I got second place in both of these, but that is indeed how it went down. But this year, different story.
So I think recently you guys were just won the Judges Award of Merit at the Abbeys for local sports program.
Yes, we did. Yeah, a great honor for us and our entire team here at WHNT. For those not familiar with the Abbeys, it's essentially awards for news and radio stations throughout the state of Alabama. So whether it's news or radio, weather, sports, there's a bunch of different categories. He can't see me because the camera's in front of me, but Ben Smith got Meteorologist of the Year.
Nice. Ben Smith.
She leans around the camera at him. So yeah, huge congratulations to Ben. And we got some other great awards for our team as well. Lauren Layton, one of our evening anchors, won a couple for her fantastic reporting. A special that we did about veterans and recognizing our veterans won an award. But the one that we got for the local sports program of the year, it's called The Changing Tide. And for anyone who didn't maybe watch, I encourage you to check out WHNT.com and find The Changing Tide and go watch it. It was a 30-minute special dedicated to Coach Saban following his retirement, which was incredibly difficult to do because how do you fit Coach Saban's career into 30 minutes? And mind you, with commercial breaks, it's not even a full 30 minutes. So it was incredibly challenging to try to fit all of his successes into 30 minutes. But yes, so about right around a month after he announced his retirement, we aired this 30-minute special about Coach Saban and his legacy, as well as Miss Terry and the rest of that family, and just kind of the impact that they've left on college football and the city of Tuscaloosa and everything like that. So incredibly honored that someone would think as much about our work as we did in this industry. You know, we have certain projects that we kind of view as like our baby, our child that we want to just be that good. And that's, I can't speak for the rest of the team, but that's how I felt about this project, knowing the impact that the Sabans have on the state of Alabama and college football and everything, and knowing how important they are and how much people care about them. I just wanted it to be that good and kind of that next level. So incredibly honored that the people judging this category would feel that way about the work that we did. And obviously we couldn't have done it without Coach Saban and the impact that he left. So incredibly thankful for that.
Tracy and I were saying this morning in your lobby, it's 2:55. Check-in's at 3. And Saban says, or no, the people say it's 2:55.
Oh, the Verbo commercial,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And he goes, I know.
I know what time it is. I love those commercials. I think, they're so good. They're right on target for kind of his entire vibe. And so, he fully leans into it.
I'm sure you've got to meet him several times. Is he just funny? As I perceive him now when he was coaching, I didn't think he's probably that funny, but I've been told by many of people he actually is pretty funny.
And a lot of people thought that, and a lot of people, again, I've got a lot of friends who are Georgia fans, Auburn fans, whatever. And so many people like to dislike Coach Saban, not because they don't respect him, but because they were tired of their team losing to him.
That's right.
Which I can completely understand. you know, when I got up to do my speech on Saturday, I said, I know we got Auburn fans in the crowd. I don't want to hear nothing. I was like, I don't want to hear any booing. I don't want to hear any disrespect for the GOAT. Okay. So a lot of people like to dislike him, and they've liked to dislike him for a lot of his career because of how dominant of a coach that he was. So a lot of people are saying the same thing. They go, man, Saban's actually really funny. He's got a personality. Watching him on game day, I go, y'all are just catching up to what we already knew.
Yeah.
If you've paid attention to him, and of course, if you don't care about Alabama football, you're probably not watching Alabama press conferences leading up to the Mississippi State game, you know? But I mean, he would crack jokes. Of course, he is incredibly business and hard and an incredible coach. But he's always had that personality. He's always had that fun side to him. He doesn't always show it, and he's not always going to show it in certain moments because the moment doesn't fit. But yeah, I mean, in that special that we did, The Changing Tide, we had a whole little thing at the end of just our favorite Saban rant-esque moments from his tenure, which was incredibly, I mean, we tried to fit it into like 1 minute. We could have made an entire 10-minute long segment about it. But yeah, he gave us some really funny moments over the years, and now he's continuing to do so at College Game Day. So it's been really fun to watch him move into that role. Even before he announced he was going to retire, and we knew that, he was always a coach that I said he'll do really well at TV one day if he wants to. Yeah. Some coaches do not have that, and they don't have the kind of personality for it, and some do, and he is one that it's been really fun to watch him take on that new challenge of his career.
Well, us being First and Sold, Tracy's dream and how he started First and Sold all stems back to high school sports, our local communities, our local high schools. How important are the local communities and the local high schools to you, to the sports programming, to the communities and everybody involved?
Yeah, I tell everyone, I have a lot of people either interview me for a class project that they're doing or something like we're doing here. And they always say kind of what are some of your favorite things that you do that you get to cover and everything? And obviously we get to cover a lot of really cool stuff with Alabama, Auburn, our local professional teams and colleges. But seriously, covering our local high school communities is one of the favorite things that we get to do here at WHMT, because if you want to know about Alabama basketball or Auburn basketball, you can turn on ESPN. Auburn basketball just played in the Final Four. And of course, we're incredibly grateful to get the chance to cover those teams and bring that content is the word I'm looking for. Bring that content to our viewers here locally. And we get to do localized stories with that. Denver Jones, starting point guard. He's from Newmarket, Alabama. So we get to do those localized things. And we're so honored and privileged to be able to do that. But you can't find the Fauquville High School football team on ESPN. You
That's
can't
right.
find that kind of stuff. And these people's parents and grandparents and everything like that, they can't find any of that anywhere else. That's the whole point of local television and local news and sports and weather, is that we are to cater to this specific community. So it's incredibly important to us, of course. I mean, we do entire 30-minute long high school football show every Friday with teams all over the Tennessee Valley. And for us, we've made that a priority to also remind everyone that high school football just isn't about the football players. We feature a band of the week every week. We have cheerleaders in our show. We bring in a coach to do a live in-studio interview every week to talk about his season when he's on a bye week, or maybe he played on Thursday night or something like that. It's about those communities. And of course, we see that with a bunch of the schools around here, all of them, but especially a lot of the small towns where you kind of look at the Friday Night Lights
yes.
vibe here in the state of Alabama. You know, nothing in downtown Hartsell is going to be open on a Friday night because everybody's going to be at J.P. Kane Stadium watching that football team. And so it's really cool to get to see and to be able to cover and to go out into these communities and people be like, oh my gosh, the news is here. Channel 19's here. All these different TV stations are here and everything like that. It's a lot of fun, and it's incredibly important to us. And I know it's an incredibly important aspect to our viewers, and they appreciate it a lot. So we appreciate them for welcoming us into their homes, so to speak, in their towns. And it's just been an absolute blast getting to cover not just high school football, all of our high school sports, but of course, football is a whole other beast in itself.
Yeah, and when you talk about high school athletics in general and North Alabama in general, you know, when you think about First and So we were thinking about how can we come up with a good name that can tie high school athletics, real estate, bring it all together and make it meaningful mm-hmm. to the community. And so First and So was deprived from a first and goal. So that's sure. a coach's favorite play of football is first and goal. So we took First and Go, made it First and So. But like you said, it's not just about football. It's about all the sports across North Alabama. You growing up around the Atlanta area, Georgia's the same way, man. Mm-hmm. High school football's king there. But really here, when you look at North Alabama, I'll go Russellville, Deschler, mm-hmm. Colbert County. Hazelwood has been closed for nearly 20 years. They still hold the record for the most state championships mm-hmm. in the state of Alabama. You get over here on Sand Mountain, you got five. Piedmont. Mm-hmm. There's really some historical programs around the area. What has been one of the most intriguing things to you when you got here and looking at high school sports across North Alabama? What's impressed you more than anything?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we could be here all day talking about that. I mean,
a good question.
You know
Tracy.
What I mean? Seriously, it's like, it's just, we have so much talent here in North Alabama, not just on the football field, in all of our sports. And we've got some of these kids playing three different sports. I see them football, basketball, and baseball season, you know. We just have so much talent here that it really, I mean, there's been so many things over the years. I think, you know, you said Fife, obviously, everything that Coach Benefield has done up there and the legacy that he is continuing to leave has just been absolutely phenomenal to witness. There's been so many incredible programs and incredible milestones that have been reached, getting to cover, you know, coaches being inducted into Hall of Fames and win streaks that are just absolutely insane. Teams that, you know, are getting that national attention that, you know, you don't always expect to happen in high school sports. For example, just the past couple of seasons, the Huntsville High School basketball team has just been absolutely through the roof. And the work that Christian Schwierz has done over there and his staff to get them to, I believe they've finished this past season ranked 26th in the entire country.
That is correct.
I was just like, did I read that right yesterday? I'm not making that up. And to be able to see, oh my gosh, and to be able to be sidelines for that Hoover game, I mean, whoo. Don't get me started on how I think that should have been a Final Four game or a state championship game. And I know the coaches of those teams can kind of back me up on that. Schwierz, if you're listening, I know that you can. But getting to see stuff like that. So, yeah, just the Huntsville boys basketball team, for a prime example, to get to see a team that is quite literally 5 minutes down the street from the station that we're sitting in right now, the studio we're sitting in right now, and to hear people on a national level talking about them is so cool. And we've seen that with a lot. I mean, people were talking about Fife nationally when they were on their crazy win streak. And just all of these high school football programs, because we're in Alabama. It's the same way with Texas, the way people talk about Texas high school football and Georgia high school football. It's like, this is the real deal. And some of these kids that we cover, I mean, I know they're not in our coverage area, but looking at Thompson, right? It's like in the dynasty they've had down there. People know about that throughout the country because that's how good they are. So I know we've got some of them up here. I know that doesn't give you a good answer to your question, because seriously, I've been here at WHNT for almost 7 years. I've worked in our sports department since January of 2019 full time. So I mean, you guys tell me what you try to narrow it down to some fantastic stuff that I've seen here in all of this time. And I mean, you would draw a blank too with just how great.
Well, there's been so many. I mean, you're right. There's been just so many from Coach Gotze.
Oh, the best.
To, you know, he's been at multiple schools and broke records at all the schools. I mean, just a great guy.
The best.
And then you have, you know, Hartsville baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new high school being started for the Priceville Bulldogs. They mm-hmm. got a great new young football coaching staff there mm-hmm. that I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If you follow North Alabama sports, the coaching staff at Priceville mm-hmm. is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Absolutely.
And then you continue on down the river to Muscle Shoals.
Oh yeah, seriously.
Coach Tim Bowen at Brooks. Mm-hmm. You just have some really good, great programs. And I think we talked about a little bit earlier, the men that are running all these programs in every sport. And we're really blessed to have some really good people who are coaching our youth.
Absolutely.
And being examples for them.
Yeah, we get a lot of, sometimes I'll get questions of people asking, you know, you must have kind of a hard time with some of the coaches, right? Like, they probably give you a hard time, like almost like trying to make it seem like it's, you know, Saban-esque and, you know, cutting short on questions and that kind of stuff. And I'm very quick to tell anyone who asks. I have been so blessed with the high school football coaches as well as other sports coaches throughout the years that I've worked here that, I mean, I can't pick out a single one that I would say, not really a great guy. There's just not a single one that I've been able to speak with and work with. And some we've spent more time with and have done more with over the years. So we build those relationships with them. But even, I mean, the coaches that we talk to for the first time, let's say we either want to give them our athlete of the week or their team of the week during the high school football season. And they're just ecstatic about it. And of course, that's because they care so much about their kids and their program, but they're happy to work with us, which is huge for us. But yeah, I mean, could not have asked for better men on our football team specifically to be leading our young men on the field. Because, yeah, seriously, I mean, you just can't do anything but brag about some of these guys around here. They've just been absolutely fantastic to work alongside and to see them kind of go throughout their careers over the years here. But, yeah, can't think of a single one where I'm like, yeah, that guy kind of sucked. Like, I mean, they're all just fantastic. And that's, you know, a credit to them and the way they were raised.
I think going along with that, once you earn the respect and admiration of these coaches, they will open their program up to you.
Absolutely.
I'll use Scott Basin for an example at Muscle Shoals. You know, Scott was not very media friendly, didn't have a lot to do with media. But he's been one of our biggest supporters. When he saw what First and Sold was all about and the positivity that we're bringing to the student athlete, to the programs, and us giving back to the schools, no doubt. So when you've got that kind of trust with the coaches, that means everything. And, of course, somebody in your position, no doubt, that means a lot. But it's just so much pride and passion that goes along, not with just football, but all high school athletics across North Alabama. I think it's really a special area for us to call home, but it's just a great area for talent.
It is. Yeah. Coach Basin's actually a funny one. He's the only person that, like, how do I say this? Because he's the best. He's the best, and he's so talented at what he does. He's so great at what he does, and you probably know this as well. He's got some superstitions, and he doesn't do pregame interviews the day of the game. Well, hello, Muscle Shoals. You're going to be game of the week a decent chunk of time, right? We're going to come out there. And so once you know that about him, and he's never been rude about it. He's never been mean about it. If you don't know that and you reach out, hey, can I grab you Friday before the game? Hey, Olivia, so sorry. I just don't do pregame interviews. Happy to talk to you anytime leading up that week. So even a coach like that who maybe is like, oh, I can't do that 5:15 interview, got a little bit of a superstition. Any other day throughout the week, happy for someone to come by. So it's like even the few guys that we have like that maybe won't give us stuff day of the game, they'll go out of their way to make sure that we get what we need. And yeah, he's just a prime example of class and respect here in North Alabama.
100%. And he is like, and I'm not comparing him to Coach Saban by any means, but he runs a tight ship.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is organized. Mm-hmm. So he is the only one, when we have a Player of the Week award for a Muscle Shoals athlete, he sets a time for us to be there. And you better be there on that time, because if you don't, you've missed it.
Yes, and I tell everyone that when they're going here. I do not be late to Muscle Shoals football practice. I swear.
He will call the whole team in. Mm-hmm. They'll take a knee, and you get 1 minute. And that's all you get. Mm-hmm. You don't go over, because he'll shut it down. And it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so organized the way he runs everything. And Yeah, I have the utmost respect for Muscle Shoals and what Scott Bazin has done, not only for that program, but for the community.
Absolutely.
Well, you talked about earlier, Olivia, that local communities, how much they mean to our local high schools. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what First and Soul is all about. So if you are out there and you want to purchase or sell or do anything in the real estate world, we are able to make a donation to whatever high school you would like on your behalf to that local high school. Mm-hmm. How important do you think that is for that high school?
I mean, depending on the school, it could be massive. It could be life-changing, you know. I don't want to say depending on the school as if every school wouldn't be happy to get a donation, because of course they would. But when you've got the bigger 7A schools, the 6A schools, when they've got a lot more coming into them, maybe they don't need it as much. But I mean, yeah, for a small school, I don't know, Tanner, I'm thinking of like small schools off the top of my head. For a small school, I mean, that would be fantastic. And I can only imagine like the generosity of people to be able to pick a school. And they say, those are the people that I want to receive this. I mean, yeah, that's huge. We see that all over the place of fundraising. You know, you see teams who aren't able to compete in certain events that they've earned a right to compete in because of lack of fundraising and everything like that. So yeah, maybe, and again, maybe not for the football team, because maybe the football team has all of that fundraising done and everything like that. But for maybe some of these smaller sports, oh my gosh, that would be massive to be able to get.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize that a football helmet alone is like $400, you know, and that's one.
Yeah.
And so you're right, Olivia, when you have the smaller schools that have 12 football helmets that are expiring, that's another thing people don't know, that football helmets do expire.
Mm-hmm.
They have a life date on them, and once they expire, they are not allowed to play football with them.
Yeah.
And so if you have 12 helmets, you're looking at over $4,000 to replace just a helmet. Mm-hmm. And so these donations and how our communities can help their own schools is really the backbone of what Tracy and I are wanting to do with First and Soul in the whole state of Alabama.
Yeah, and I think that's fantastic, because again, a lot of these schools probably need it, some more than others maybe, but no one's gonna turn away money, right? No one's gonna turn away a donation. Not when you're dealing with stuff as expensive as some of these athletic programs are. So yeah, I know they'll be greatly appreciative of it.
Olivia, one thing I think would be interesting too, with what you do, a lot of times you get to go behind the scenes at some of these schools and some of these programs, you know, whether that's basketball, softball, baseball, volleyball, football. Is there any interesting stories from behind the scenes that you've encountered over the years that you can share with the listeners that might be, you know, pretty entertaining or useful for those guys?
Entertaining. Probably plenty of entertaining ones. I know. Yeah, I get put on the spot here, guys. Oh, gosh. Again, I mean, it's just been so many. And maybe not like the most entertaining or something that people might think at home, but like you guys are saying, the behind the scenes, it's like we get to see the way that these programs work, the way that these programs tick. Oh, gosh. Here, Ben Smith, our meteorologist, is hollering at me for something.
Ben Smith said 2 years ago. The Tennessee game.
Gosh.
Oh, let's hear it.
I know. Well, I don't even know if that's behind. Yeah, right. I don't even know if that's behind the scenes. That's more so just Olivia struggling for her life. We'll get to Tennessee in a second. But yeah, you get to see the behind the scenes of these programs and the way that they operate, the way that they tick. Coach Bazin, perfect example. Coach Godsey at Madison Academy. James Clemens in the program that they've had over there. Fife, and getting to see the way that Coach Benefield runs his unique style that he runs out at Fife and the Red Devils. I mean, you get to see it. And we've had sometimes, not very often, because again, this is high school. It's not the NFL. It's not Alabama football. But we've had sometimes where coaches say, I don't show this on TV, like, because it's either, you know, it's trick plays and that kind of stuff. But like, we get to see that and we say, yeah, totally. But we still get to stand there and watch it. So that's not the entertainment value of things that I get to experience. But you do. It is really cool to be able to see how these teams get to where they are. When you see a team hoist the state championship trophy, or they make it to a regional final in basketball, or the Final Four, or whatever the case may be, you have gotten to see the process leading up to it. And you know why the hard work has paid off because you've seen the hard work at play in practice. This isn't a high school example, but a college example. The UAH men's basketball team has been absolutely unreal this past season. But my entire time that I've been here, they've been incredible because they've had incredible leadership. When I started here, starting with Coach Lenny Acuff, who's now up at Lipscomb, and then John Schulman coming in and all of the character that he is. I'm going to send him the link to this and be like, look, I talked about you. And he is a character. He's at Central Arkansas now. And now Mick Hedgepeth has just been in his first year. And in his first year, he had this team winning 30 plus games in a row, you know, just insane stuff. And when you see a team like that win a GSC, a conference championship, I'm like getting emotional over on the sidelines because and to bring it all back to a point we made earlier about the local teams. Again, this is a college example, not a high school example, but ESPN doesn't cover UAH. They don't. We get to, and to see them all season do all of this, I'm like getting teary-eyed on the corner. I'm like, can I get a championship t-shirt? Like, yeah. Why do I feel like I'm part of this, right? So just to be able to see these programs and the way that they get to have the success that they have, that is really cool. What Ben is, I think, talking about, maybe the Alabama-Tennessee football game, not this past season, but two seasons ago now, the first time that Tennessee beat Alabama in a long, long time, and not to bring up any fresh wounds for anybody, but again, it did happen again this past season, so I think maybe you're over it by now from two seasons ago. That was an absolutely chaotic scene in Knoxville, and anyone watching the broadcast who wasn't there could tell how absolutely insane it was, because Tennessee hadn't beat Alabama in a long, long time, and I know it felt really good, so everyone's storming the field and everything. I'm going through it on that field. I'm telling you, I've been through field stormings before, and I'll give it to Auburn fans. Auburn fans are very classy with their field stormings. It's a little chaotic, but they see a young woman with a camera and they say, "Part the seas, everyone move, get out of her way." Tennessee, that did not go that way. And I don't mean that towards disrespect towards the Tennessee fans, but I was going through it on that field. I'm talking, I've got cigars being put out on my arm by accident. Lord, I'm getting hit in the back of the head. And at one point, and this might be what Ben's referring to, I'm losing a shoe. My shoe comes off on the field. And so now I'm down on the ground trying to get my shoe. This girl from Tennessee, she was nice. She is trying to help me off the ground because she thinks I'm on the ground unintentionally. I go, I got to get my shoe. Like, whole thing. She helps me up. God bless her. I make my way to the small podunk room that we do visitor media locker room in. Because for anyone who doesn't know, the visitor locker rooms in these football stadiums in particular, but also basketball stadiums, they're not nice. They're not big. You want to treat your enemy, so to speak, as an enemy, and you're not treating them first class. So we get into this small room. I'm sweating, guys. I'm pouring sweat. I'm holding my shoe. And there's Miss Terry Sabin. I go, this could not be worse for me. I go, gosh, guys, I go, not only am I a graduate of Alabama and we just lost to Tennessee and now I'm a little pissed. Now I've got Miss Terry Sabin sitting right in front of me. I'm holding a shoe, sweating, like just embarrassing. And, you know, she doesn't pay my embarrassment any 2 cents because that's not what she's there to do. She's there to support Coach Sabin. And she smiles and waves at everyone as the incredibly classy lady that she is. So she does not call me out for my dishevelment. if you so to speak, but yeah, maybe that's something that's not a behind the scenes for me, but that's a behind the scenes for you guys. When the people at home see me on television talking about the game, they don't see us quite literally fighting in the trenches down there. So yeah, that was a fascinating day for
that,
sure.
That was 20 years of frustration from Tennessee
exactly.
fans. Just unleashing all at one moment.
Exactly.
God, that was an incredible story. And
the goalpost almost came down on my head. Like, it was, I'm telling you, it was a day. It
wow.
was a day.
That, circling back to UAH for just a second, mm-hmm. quick shout out, former Brooks superstar,
yes.
Knute Wood, Tennessee State, for
yes.
a couple of years. He's transferring. He'll be at UAH next season.
He will.
That will be awesome.
Yeah, Coach Hutchpeth, Wood, as well as a few other guys, he's picking up some good transfers. And it's like, especially when you're a guy like Knute or Tommy Murr, for example, he graduated from Lindsay Lane, and I got to cover him when he was in high school, and it was an absolute bucket. And now that he's married and leaving college, I feel old and decrepit because I can say that I covered him when he was in high school.
Just imagine if you're Tracy. I'm just kidding.
Catching strays over here on this Tuesday morning. But yeah, so Tommy, for example, he leaves Lindsay Lane. He goes up to Lipscomb and he comes back to UAH. Knut, another perfect example. Austin Leslie comes back to UAH. These guys who started maybe somewhere else, you see the success that UAH is having. I mean, why would you not want to come here, right? And play for a guy like Mick Hedgepeth, who's been a seamless transition in taking over the UAH basketball program. Again, putting them on a national level, and we're talking about UAH and their win streak every 5 seconds because it's incredibly impressive. So yeah, super happy to see him back in the North Alabama area next season and excited to see what he does for the Chargers because I'm sure he'll be a great addition.
Well, I can tell you, Olivia's a joy. She's full of life.
Oh, man. Awesome. Absolutely.
I don't know about all that.
North Alabama's blessed to have you.
Thank you.
As a face and as a voice for all sports. We thank you for that. Kudos to everything you've won.
Thank you.
I can tell you're a hard worker. I can tell all the listeners out there, the moment that I texted Olivia, she replied back to me that day. I talked to Tracy that night. I said, dude, Olivia is very professional, communicates. Kudos to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, guys.
And yeah. Extremely thankful for having you on today.
Yeah, it's been an absolute blast. And anytime you guys want to chit-chat about high school football, or you want to hear more embarrassing stories about me,
sure,
and my professional career, I'm available.
Well, anytime you're over, we would love to have you around, and just extremely blessed and thankful for you.
Yeah, thanks
for having me, guys. And, you know, I'm so honored to be in this studio. I remember growing up, and I knew it was time to get up and get ready for school when I heard Grady Reeves' Morning Folks, long before your time. Mm-hmm. But I can still hear that theme music playing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And Channel 19, I mean, that's what you, morning folks, grew
I hope
up with
you it. Were going to say Steve Johnson and throw him under the bus and say that I grew
he's
up
in
with
that
Steve
time frame
Johnson.
Too. That's right. I used to see Steve Johnson at the Alabama games all the time.
Oh, yes.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to see you on the sidelines.
Yes.
You know, everybody that listens knows that I do the radio for the Prosper Bulldogs on the sideline reporting, and I've been blessed to see you a few times on different games. And so I look
running around with my head cut off, I'm sure.
And by the way, be out on the lookout. First and Sole Media Days will be up coming in July sometime. And so we look forward to having as many high schools as we can have represent every classification. And we would love to have Olivia Whitmire and WHNT there to talk to all the different coaches and players and all of that. So
yeah, I'm sure
have you been to the Media Days before?
Oh, I've been to Media Days. Oh, boy. Yeah, talking about Media Days, I'm like, oh, my gosh, talking about football. And, you know, it's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's coming up quick. Before we finish, sign off, let's do a quick real estate update.
Okay.
Mortgage interest rates right now, 30-year, 6.71%. The 15-year is at 5.80% this week. And I can tell you, in all of North Alabama, North Cullman County and North, I did an average, and the average days on market right now is 81. That's including every county. And the average sales price right now in all of North Alabama is $342,448. So market's still strong. Everything's going well. You guys remember that if you ever need anything in the real estate world, contact First and Soul, Tracy Black, or Bo Goss, and you'll get to make a donation to your favorite high school or whoever high school you'd like to support, and we'll make that donation on your behalf in trying to bring communities together.
And let me just add this in. We were talking about the competition last week, so, you know, Bo handles the Decatur market. I handle the Shoals market. We did finish the first quarter ahead of Decatur market. Now we're in the second quarter, and we're still ahead.
But so, who made $1 million jump?
You did.
That's right.
Okay. But don't forget the Coastal Division down there. Gary's coming on strong.
Coastal,
so if I can get it to halftime, it's looking good.
Well, just like I told you last week, it's four quarters, just like a football game.
It definitely
at
is.
The end of the fourth quarter, matters who wins.
So, Olivia, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And
thank
seriously.
You, Tracy. Thank you, Olivia.
Yeah.
Guys, we'll be back next week. Thank you for tuning in. Bo Goss, Tracy Black, First and Sold. See you next week.